I think the motivation was there was nothing in the short term policy about the return of space. And so, especially that one about the like an easy one. Yes. Yeah.
Yes, you. Yeah, right. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
No, I haven't had a chance to talk to a lot of them. No, I'll forward it to you now, then. Oh, I'll put it to lock.
Okay, and ladies and gentlemen, evening councillors and everyone in the and after the administration, thank you for being here. Having this statement is acknowledged what we're trying to do now. Council acknowledges that we need on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri Kaurna people. They are custodians of this nation and here for them. And so we pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We will control this country together by sharing the decisions we make. We can live by the principle that we should never decrease our children's ability to live on this land. Now, I have two apologies this evening. In fact, both Councillor Gables and both Councillor Castelli are apologies. We have no leave of absence to request or anyone on leave of absence. We know who's actually absent. So I'll go to item four on our agenda, which is the minutes of the previous meeting. We then surprise everyone and leave someone to move for this week. Thank you. And so I have Councillor Grant and the second back here, Councillor Walsh. All those in favour, please. Thank you, carried unanimously. And now, item five, does anyone have a declaration of conflict of interest? You only did one point, what the Council Pellman, then Councillor Harkin, Councillor Sponsor, and Councillor Stoller. Okay, so we'll go around and I'll start with Councillor Pellman. So do you want to say that now? You have to make it
there. So I declare a material conflict of interest in item 4.1, Swims Asset Management Plan. The reason being my property at number 10, Full Street Bird, is connected to the Swims. That depending on the decision, I may suffer a pecuniary, or may accrue a pecuniary benefit, or suffer a pecuniary loss, depending on the decision. And I intend to agree on that one.
Thank you.
And item 12.4, confidential item review, March 2023, I'm declaring a general conflict of interest in that one. In the items, there's going on the property owner, 10 Full Street, Virgin, connect twins. I will not leave the room. I will stay in the room and vote on the matter, as I believe the decision to keep the decision confidential will in no way provide a benefit or a disbenefit to me.
All right, thank you for that. That's what I'm doing.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yep, I am declaring general conflict of interest in relation to item 3, nomination to Dublin Cat Management Board. My father, David Parker, is the chair of the Dublin Cat Management Board. And out of the mother's caution, not wishing to appear to be seen to influence in any way, I will refrain from entering debate or voting, but I will stay in the chamber. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Garvin. I had Councillor Stelwood and then Councillor Osborne. Councillor Stelwood.
I guess I'd like to declare a conflict of interest at item 12.1. I have a direct material conflict as I'm about to purchase a home in Charleston serviced by the CWMS, and I may gain benefit or suffer a loss.
I'm sorry, what's the item again? 12.1. And Councillor
Osborne. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I declare a material conflict of interest in relation to item number 12.3, nomination of the Dog and Cat Management Board. I intend to nominate for one of those two positions, and it is a material conflict of interest pursuant to Section 75 of the Act, as it carries with it a small monetary sitting room. I'll be leaving the room.
Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you very much. All right. Now, item six on the agenda, there's opening remarks. I do just have a couple of things to give to people. The first one is, I'd like to acknowledge the death of a really long-standing volunteer, lady named Gwen Hewitt. Gwen was a member of the Mount Lovely and Bishopwick's Historical Society for over 40 years. So that is an amazing contribution on this morning. And so I'd like to acknowledge the work that Gwen has done in her time. Also, a bit of general information, I now have a meeting on 31st of March with Mr. Cousin Tonish with regard to Annie Hewitt.
Well done.
And so I'm looking forward to that. And I'm just trying to just want to congratulations. Councillor Daniel is deputy mayor of Cook this evening because he's just been delivered to his little son, whose name is Subala, and a healthy 4.1 kilos. So we congratulate him on that. And I'm trying to myself here to sort of All right, we have no questions adjourned. We have no questions lying on the table. We don't have any petitions, but we do, coming to 8.2 on the agenda, have two deputations. So the first deputation is by Mr. Douglas Gillen. This is concerning road closures. So I'm going to invite Douglas to come forward to the microphone. If you just press the button on the front of your microphone so you get your light, and that means you're in for the end of this now. So, Mr. Gillett, you've got 10 minutes, and I'm certainly happy to answer questions if people have them afterwards. So, now the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you very much, Mayor, for allowing the deputation. My name's Doug Gillett. I'm the Treasurer and representing the South Australian Road Gaining Association tonight. And I've titled the deputation a case study, but originally this was a deputation arising from public consultation around the closure of a road, being Murdoch Road in Woodside. I had asked to present this deputation last year, but then I realised that the elections of many of the councils have actually changed, and so therefore I asked for it to be deferred. And as a result of the consultation at the time, the number of objections that arose from our group and others caused the proposal to buy the land to be withdrawn at the time. So it didn't actually go ahead, and it never actually got to a vote at all to decide the matter. So I thought I'd go ahead with the deputation and speak to the reasons that we organised objections at the time. So I have the next slide, please. Or do I have to do that? Okay, so South Australian Road Gaining, each year we have around about 1,300 people who participate in our events. I'm also speaking as the organiser of a group of cyclists of over 15 years standing, regularly riding off Adelaide Hills on Sundays, and also have been in touch with Walking SA and Orienteering SA, have aligned interests in maintaining access to road corridors and trails throughout the Adelaide Hills council area. The road that was involved, being Murdoch Road, it was actually an amazing coincidence that we used that on the Saturday for our event to set what's control 51 on that little excerpt of our map. And it came out in public consultation on the Monday, immediately afterwards. So one of the things that we realised is that council often probably is not even aware of the number of people that use some of these public rights of way and roads that are gazetted but not actually constructed on a weekly, daily, annual basis, because there's just no measures of who is actually there using them. And even the landowners wouldn't, in many cases, the adjoining landowners wouldn't know. So I've just actually listed there five of the events that come to mind in recent years that we've actually held in the Adelaide Council area. And this Saturday, we have our four-hour Twilight Road Game, which is based around the Stirling East Public School. That's the hash house. And when I last looked about 20 minutes ago, we have 457 people entered in that event in 157 teams. And all of those, all of that map is in the AHC area. And we'll be using as many of it are all secret roads, tracks, and highways that the map setter, which is not me for that course, has found. And that's the important part, is that all of these little pathways are key to the activities that we undertake. This does bring real direct benefits to the local businesses. So the events that I organised, the Velo Game 21 and in 22, we spent around about $3,000 just directly on food and donations to the family association, and it brings a whole lot of people into the area every time we do. The cycling group that I'm involved in, we've been doing that for a long, long time, and typically there'll be 12 to 20 of us visiting a coffee shop somewhere in the area each Sunday. Hiking, I can't speak to actual numbers, but many people
traverse the Heisen Trail, and there's other trails that have been developed over the recent times, the Heisen Trail, Lavender Trail, Federation Trail, and I was just out of Mount Torrens a week ago and realised that Barton Springs Lane has now been developed as part of the Mount Torrens Precinct Walking Trail and Cycling Trail area, although it does need a bit more work to make it the Cycling Trail. So that's the sort of corridor that's very important to keep in public ownership. So the consultation, the offer made by the proponent to buy the land, said, well, there'll still be a pedestrian right of way, but I've listened here, and I'm not sure if you will get copies of this presentation afterwards, because it's a bit dense, but I wanted to answer, why is pedestrian right of way not good enough? From our point of view, first of all, we do often use cars to set manual controls, so that's not, pedestrian right of way is not great. Once the land is owned, eventually there's no motivation for the landowner to maintain one of the fences at least. So dogs and stock will then both be able to threaten and be threatened by anyone using the land as a pedestrian on a right of way. Also, if it's a right of way, then how does an organisation like ours that drives the landowner? At the moment, we make an event application to AHC, and that covers all of the road corridors in the whole area. There's a couple of other things there. If you're hanging in control, is that covered by being in the right way? Can you leave it in the right way? Are cycling horse riding covered by a pedestrian right of way? Could you stop and have a lunch or a bit of a rest in a right of way, or can the landowner ask you to move on? How do you know that the landowner has public liability insurance? When we conduct an event, AHC checks it on our, not checks that we have it as an organisation. But what about an owner in perpetuity? How do you know that you're going to be able to check that the organisation have liability insurance? How long is the right of way going to last? So if the new owner makes it very difficult to access by putting up fences or gates or having vicious dogs, then people won't use it. And then what happens? Are they, after a little while, able to ask for the right of way to be voided? So selling the land access corridor is forever. As an example, the Amy G Trail, when the rail was closed and the land was sold off all the way through the back of Oakbank, that was never really envisaged as being any use for anyone. But now the trailhead for the AEG is orphaned at a point just north of Oakbank, which it would be much better if that corridor had been retained and you could have brought the trail all the way into a population area rather than just have a steep bone onto the Mayonga Road. So a corridor is a very valuable access. There's many unmade or minor roads in the AHC area. I've done my best to find them all in setting road bans. So I'd really like to urge the council to keep them, and further than that, to try and connect them, and also to expand some of the access by renegotiating any rental agreements that have been, I know there's many that are in place, as they become due, and to examine those clauses and make sure that there's not obstacles to access that the current users, owners in most cases, are able to exploit, which is generally by putting up signs saying trespassers cross access. Thank you. In the future, there'll be even more people residing in Adelaide Hills Council area. Can think of 5 or 6 new houses under construction within 5 kilometre radius of my house at Ballina. And once it's gone, it's gone, and you can't really bring it back. So as these assets belong to the community, I hope that they should be very, very seriously thought about any proposals to buy land from the council. So a couple that I've just, some of you will know where these roads are, others won't. These roads are roads that we used during the Bello game. These would have all have been candidates for sale if Murdoch Road was the precedent. There's substantially no difference between these roads and Murdoch Road at all. and some that are candidates for reopening and incorporation into walking trails, which are currently not really accessible to anybody. Keogh Hill Road, Dubarton Springs Lane, the old Deviation Road, which used to be accessible, but landowners have put up a fence. Fox Road, Mount Torrens, going east to Hollows Road, Churchill Road would be a great corridor to access from Houghton down into the gorge. Currently, it's blocked off by the landowner at the bottom. Merchants, Fernhurst, and Valley Roads would be a great walking trail, but all of those corridors are actually not in alignment with the physical track. So, thank you very much, and I'm willing to answer any questions you might have.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Gill, for giving us all that information. Now, you asked some very good questions about right of way. Now, do we have any staff who know the answers to that here? Otherwise, it's such good list, but we'll get it taken on notice so that we can get back to you. Is that something we can answer now?
Through you, Worship. Most likely not. Unfortunately, I'm Director of Corporate Services, had to be called away to a family emergency this evening. Now, Manager of Property Service couldn't make it tonight. So, very happy to get the information back over the deputy. Has posed question marks against. Could be really great to work with the association on this matter going forward.
Yeah, because they're really interesting and important questions that we don't know the answer to. The other thing I was going to raise was we have a 20-year trail strategy. Is that still active, or is that something that we could provide to Mr. Gillard that's very interesting?
Through your worship, yes, we'll be somewhere within those 20 years, so I'll say yes, it is still active. And yes, very, very keen to work with this association, as we have done with Walking SA on the matter of unmade road reserves in particular, to identify those that may be priorities or actively used for these sorts of events to help inform future council decision making around the future of unmade road reserves. So, yes, very
On that policy, I remember being involved in the consultation only about 2 or 3 years ago, so it's well within 20 years.
It's probably a good idea to connect that up with, you know, what you're saying here as well. So I've got a couple of people with their hands up ready to ask questions. So I've got Councillor Parkin, Councillor Martin, and then Councillor Herman. So Councillor Parkin.
Thanks, Your Worship. I'm probably obvious, but what's Rogaining? I've heard of it, but I'm not sure what it is.
Rogaining is a team navigation sport. So, yes, it's similar to orienteering, but it's over much longer distances and a lot of time periods. The classic championship event is a 24-hour event. But the events that are likely to be held in Adelaide Hills Council and adjacent to the city are the shorter 4-hour event for Saturday, and Bella Games is also a 4-hour event for Scarlet Mikes.
All right, thank you. Good question to ask first. Councillor Marsh.
Yeah, thank you for the presentation. It's an area which I haven't really considered very much before, but I've got a question about some of these unmade roads that you talk about that people travel across. Are they ones which are fenced by adjacent owners just through
all types?
Yeah.
Probably, I don't know, 50% generally have a fence on either side. But many of them won't have a fence on one side.
So they're not fenced off, so you don't have to climb the fence to get in or anything like that?
Well, there's often a gate, and often the gate is decrepit, and often the landowner that may or may not have an access agreement granted by the council, but almost inevitably there'll be a landowner that's exploiting the land for grazing or something. And in general, there'll be some signs there saying no trespassing or private land or something, even though that you know that it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And the other area where the access is difficult is that the physical track might do this, but the actual corridor does that. So that to actually traverse through it, you would actually be on their private land. And that's the case, for instance, of the Eugene Road. The track basically goes right very close to a house, and the boundary of the house has now been fenced. So the road reserve is now in the bush, or well, it's always been in the bush, but the only access way now would be to bike your way through the bush, because now the fences, you know, if you went through the fence, you'd be on their private land, whereas previously that was not obvious. And you've always been on their private land. But that, for instance, now a route that could be used is no longer able to be used because of the physical restrictions. Something like Wise Road is another a good example of that. It'd be a great corridor if it's never been made, and if you went there, you'd be, you know, highly likely that some landowner would come out and go, what are you doing here? This is my property. Because they would say that because that's the way that they feel and they're treated now.
Yeah. Councillor Selwyn, do you have a question on this one? We've got Councillor Hearn, I've got somebody else.
Just a comment on that. Last about the road not being on a road reserve, there was a situation like that over at Morgan Road, Kirstbrook, where the road went through a dam. Mm-hmm. It clearly was inaccessible. Council negotiated with landowners, etc., and now that track was open. It was a horse trail, that one. It can be mechanisms that can be put in place to solve those issues. My question was more general. You talk about roads in general. What about a road that was a dead-end road? Would you see that as essential to save those? Because probably only the same owners of the woman's road that runs halfway in and stops.
Well, it depends. We may or may not, you know, like a set of control at the end of it. If it was a substantial distance, say 500 or 1,000 metres or something, into a control and back out again, that would be useful for a course setter. But I guess I'd not see that as being as valuable as a road that actually is, you know, like a corridor that connects between two places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, thank you. Councillor Grant.
Thank you, Your Worship. Thank you, Mr. Delafield. Incredibly informative presentation. This is an issue that comes before the chamber quite a bit. My question is, when these matters come up for consultation, is the South Australian Rogaine Association or other groups you're associated with approached directly by council for consultation, or how do you find out about it?
No, I personally get the have your say emails, and I look at them, and I zero straight in on anything to do with sale of land. I must say probably half the ones that I've seen have always just been adjusting the boundaries around a road that isn't quite in the right place, or their sheds encroached on another land or something. And I personally make a point of agreeing with that consultation just to put it on the record so that we're not always being negative. But in the area of corridors, I'll probably nearly always seek to object to the corridor being sold. But if it's a small adjustment, then fair enough. That makes it easier for people if you can. And I do appreciate that from the viewpoint of, say, the council and its management of the land, then a piece of land that looks useless and is a legal obligation to maintain it or ensure it, that's a small risk to the council. If you don't, you know, if you sell it off, it's great, somebody else's problem, but that's a short-sighted approach. And that's the problem with sales that I would encourage the council not to allow to go through.
All right, thank you. Councillor Selwyn.
Yeah, thank you for your presentation. That was very informative. I do run on some of these unmade roads, and I often encounter dirt bikes and things like that. I just wanted to know what your view was in terms of shared use with other recreational activities like dirt bikes.
Well, I guess if it's a public road, the dirt bikes, provided they're registered legal and everything else, they've got just as much right as everybody else. I've generally not had that experience riding or bike, well, I generally am riding, so cycling, you hear them coming, and I haven't had that problem. But I wouldn't seek that, you know, we're not trying to get any sort of monopoly on usage of the corridors. I'm just really concerned that they always hold off and things like the Lavender Trail in the future, you know, 30 or 40 years' time, when somebody else wants to come up with another trail, then there'll be very few places to put it.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for the presentation. And we will endeavour to get back to you with regard to the rights of way questions, and also endeavour to get your information to our property team with regard to the roads and the trail capacity. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
So I'd now like to invite Mr. Oliver Giovanni to please come to the microphone and give a presentation. Please stay here and do this. Thank you. You have 10 minutes. I'll give you a 2 minute and a 1 minute warning. The floor is yours for you.
Good evening, everyone. I currently own a plot of land in Craters, and adjacent to this land is a council verge that has multiple regulators and infant trees, which it has a history of dropping branches onto my property. At the start of the year in January, I was almost killed by one of them. 2 minutes prior to where I was standing, one of these branches fell. So, you know, 2 minutes before that, I probably have been killed by this fallen branch. At a meeting on site with the council's arborist, Damien Brennan and also Chris Jansen attended, and we discussed the matter which was being looked into. Damien proposed some removal of a few of the trees, but I'm actually not happy with that sort of proposal in terms of what was actually being done, because it might be okay for now, but you know, 2 weeks later I might have an issue again. There's already been other branches fallen since that meeting that we had. It was about 4 weeks ago approximately. So really, I was just wanting to make everyone aware and to see what further can be done really to manage this issue. The second point that I'm here tonight to discuss is this property of mine. I would like to get some council bins. I've spoken to councillor Martin about this, and my application to have one bin on my property has been rejected. So I was wondering what could be done about that also.
All right, thank you. So with regard to the scheme of things first.
Yes.
Now, we have a policy around that, so Mr. Waters, would you like to make that comment?
Your Worship, I must admit I'm not intimately familiar with the, because I understand it's a vacant piece of land around that you're looking for, that the deputy is looking for things for. Mr. Jansen, who's, again, Mr. Vice, our Director of Infrastructure and Operations, is a late withdrawal from tonight due to the illness, but this is filling in. So, Chris, if you've got any information about that, Mr. Jansen may have some information about that.
All right, thank you. So, Mr. Jansen, if you can just outline what the policy is regarding this one, take a lot with us if you're able to. Thank you.
Yeah, through you, Your Worship. I'm not intimately involved with the policy. It's outside of my area, but my understanding is that we do have a policy of no bins issued to empty plots. It's just in our policy. There's various reasons for that, like the bins not being bought in a timely manner, etc. So, yeah, that's, you know, get back a bit more information, which I believe has been supplied to the resident.
Can I comment on that?
Well, so where we are at the moment is that we actually have a policy that says on our faith lands, that's not something that we want to pursue.
What's the policy when you have a house demolished and there's still bins remaining on that side?
And there's still
bins remaining on the side.
So that, you mean when it essentially becomes a vacant lot?
Yep, and then I can do 12 to use 10 years and allow to build on it.
But I don't know what happens in the interim. We can take it on notice if you want to take it on notice. Yeah, so we can take that one on notice, and Mr. Jones will get back to you on that one. Now, with regard to the trees being fit, I can ask for comments from Mr. Jansen, but I'm going to be quite honest and tell you that there are 17,000 properties in this area, in this town council district. My property is on Craters West, and what has happened to you in the last few weeks has been happening for the 28 years that I've lived there. So I suspect that the issue that you've got is shared by many other people in the group that would stretch out our resources beyond what we have. We do rely very heavily on members of the public to let us know if they think there are dangerous things so we can come out and look at them. But Art, if you want to make a comment, Mr. Johnson, on that?
Yeah, certainly, Your Worship. Yeah, I'll just echo your thoughts. It is, there are a lot of trees everywhere, and we do rely on our customers to let us know when there are specific issues on trees. We can't be down every street to inspect every tree. We did react to this dropping of the limb within our service standard, which was 7 days. Really no further comment, except unless it's a specific question on the way we manage the trees.
So let me go to Councillor Mudge. You have a question?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. I've just got a question. Sounds like it's sort of here in a bit of a dispute about certain trees with Councillor Arborist. Have you had any advice from a qualified arborist as to whether those trees are actually likely to be dropped?
I haven't, and I even had that discussion with Dane and Chris, that they, wouldn't mind getting an independent view, because it's one thing. Not to say that Dane is incorrect, but it would be nice that, an independent person actually assessed not just the tree, but the whole situation in terms of the actual risk. Because, not that it really matters, but in my line of work, I deal with risk all the time. And one of the things that you do in terms of the hierarchy is eliminate the risk if it can be eliminated. But what we're kind of doing here is a band-aid solution in terms of what's being proposed by the council.
But Councillor Mudge, you had a second question. Yeah. I'm sorry, my microphone's gone.
Sorry, I can understand the hierarchy controls and elimination is the hardest one, but could you imagine if like every tree in the council district poses a risk to someone walking past? Could you imagine if we went and cut down every single tree in the council area? So risk, it would need to sort of be reasonable,
right? Yeah, well, my response to that is that I'm telling you about the specific risk. I'm not saying that we should review every single tree in the county. That matters. I'm saying there's a specific risk. I can point to the tree, the problematic tree. I think they should be sort of considered actually reasonably to maybe actually eliminate the risk.
But I think what we're saying is that we manage that risk by putting one of our arborists out, Damien in this case, a senior arborist, fully qualified, and has come out and given an assessment.
Yeah.
I guess if you're not happy with that assessment, of course, absolutely, you could go and get an independent one. And if that was quite different, then I think council, would certainly want to hear from you and listen to hear that if it was quite a different issue, and it would be worth bringing that back to us. But I'll ask now, Councillor Osterfeld.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Through you, Madam Mayor. The trees, are they, you say they're on council land?
Yeah.
Are their limbs overhanging your property boundary?
Yeah, correct.
All right, thank you.
So did anyone else have any question on this at all? Thank you, Councillor.
Your Worship. I guess I'd like to understand a little bit about your utopian solution. I guess the solution again, you're not happy with the council's carbon assessment. Your utopian response to this particular issue, ignoring the broader council and then that risk mitigation there, what does that look like to you?
Yeah, thank you for asking that question, by the way. What I would like, what Dane has proposed is, there is a three dead trees that are actually on the verge that they're going to be removed. The branch that almost killed me wasn't from a dead tree, it was from a reasonably healthy tree, from what I understand. I don't want to remove the trees. I'm not here to say cut them all down. What I would like is some of the canopy to be reduced. So if I've got a branch hanging over 10 metres into my property, maybe to reduce that span by a third, because so to reduce the actual size of this branch, potentially falling on someone, myself or my family, my kids, and maybe sort of reducing the actual canopy of the county trees onto my property. That's what I would like.
But bearing in mind it's a vacant block, it's going to be under. Councillor Chiffey, is one question.
Yeah, was there any feedback on the arborist and your conversation and around the implications of that making tree longevity potentially increase the risk of that tree going into that.
Damien was really good. He explained, very knowledgeable, he explained when you prune or cut branches off the implications that it could have for the tree. So my recommendation or wanting was maybe not to do it all at once, maybe to do slightly part of some of the trees and see how they fare, and then review the situation after that and then proceed further if it needs it. Yeah.
All right, thanks. I'm
going to
close the questions now. I'm going to spend a lot of time on them. So look, the one thing our origination is towards is that anything you've got to suggest, I can only suggest that you get more dependent arborist and you bring that result back to us that it's fundamentally different, so that we can look at managing our risk differently. Is there anything else we need to add?
Fundamentally, what is occurring here is the staff made an assessment of the situation and a decision based on the current practice and policy. The deputy is not happy with that, which clearly that is not. I would probably be looking to apply our complaint handling policy on some escalation that happens within there to have a matter reviewed. So we'd be very happy to discuss that process with Mr. Trevlow perhaps tomorrow and work our way through that process.
Okay.
And so well, may or may not arrive at a different outcome.
Well, okay, all right. So that's still up in this view. Thank you very much.
I have a question.
No, that's right. I want to close this period. Sorry, thank you much. Thank you very much for that. Can you recount it and raise it offline? Thank you. Okay, all right, so item 8.3 on our agenda, there's a public forum. Is there anyone in the public forum in the gallery who would also like to speak? Thank you. We don't have any presentations tonight. We don't have any questions on notice or motions on notice, but we do have some administration reports. So we go on to item 12 on our agendas. And the first administration report is regarding the SWIM asset management plan. So Mr. College, you'll get the advice to come forward. And for those people who've got conflicts of interest, thank you. Councillor Herman, Councillor Selwood, you will take the lead. We'll let you lead before we start. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. All right, Colin, the floor is yours. Is there anything new or anything you would have highlighted in this report for the elected members?
Through you, Your Worship, there's no substantial change to the report as it's presented.
All right, thank you. So I'm looking for someone to move something in regards to this item. Councillor Marsh, what is it you'd like to move?
I'd like to move the motion.
Okay, thank you. Do you want to speak to
that? Just very briefly. This community wastewater management system asset management plan continues the good work that's been done by the administration the past few years to put a more rigorous framework around what council how council manages its assets. For those who are new to the chamber, these sorts of plans will ensure that we are not, on the one hand, gold plating the management of our SWIM's assets in replacing and renewing components before it's needed, and on the other hand, under-investing in components such that they fail and reduce the levels of service that are being offered to those residents and ratepayers that utilise the SWIM service. One thing that is really important, and you may have noticed that in the report, and it's highlighted on page 6, is that the SWIM service is actually a net benefit to the financial position of council, with approximately average benefit of $600,000 per annum over the last 6 years. So these things, because they're highly regulated assets, we essentially have to charge a certain amount of money for them, and we're using economies of scale to manage them, actually making money for the actual council overall. And I'm glad that the public consultation on the SWIM's asset management plan has generated some interest from the community, and I'm happy that it's been positive. So, I commend the motion.
All Thank you very much. Do you have a second? Thank you. Councillor Gill, would you like to speak?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll just add that I noticed it was actually 0.5 of a recommendation from the COSA that we finished this actual management plan. So it would be nice to actually have it signed off.
Okay, good
observation. So we've already taken them up.
Yeah, thank you. So good observation. All right, and so is anybody wanting to debate the item? Yes, Councillor Hudson, you have a question.
I think I know what the answer is going to be, but I'll ask anyway. FA Water or vice versa, FA Water or the council, the trust, FA Water taking over the system at any stage, because I know there's not too many BWMS instruments left in the state.
Thank you, Mr. Collins.
Thank you, through you, Mayor. Thanks for the question, Councillor. There's still a significant number of councils do run community wastewater systems. Probably the biggest one that's run is by the Mount Barker Council. So generally, SA Water do not look to take those systems over. I think they most recently did some negotiation in Tea Tree Gully and took over a component of the Tea Tree Gully system that was failing quite badly, and so some discussions occurred there. But there's been no interest that I'm aware of SA Water wanting to take over our system.
All right, thank you. Councillor Marsh, it doesn't sound like you need a vote of reply. All right, so let's vote on the item, please. All those in favour? All right, thank you. That's carried unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Collins. Could I ask then if we could let in our two councillors who are outside at the moment? Thank you, Mr. Watson. All right, thank you. So now, I'm also 12.2 now, so we're looking at heritage agreements. Now, I've got Darren's name by this, but I haven't got Darren in front of me. So I'm going to invite you to, if you'd like to introduce yourself and let us know if you have any more information that you want to add or you want to highlight on this.
Through you, Your Worship. Thank you. Chris Jansen, manager of Open Space. I have with me Renee Eaton, who's one of our biodiversity officers. And although my name might be on the report, Renee did all the work for this. So.
No, sorry, it's on the report. It's just not on the liable order.
No,
all right, thank you.
That's why. And only thing was that we're just taking a slightly different approach this time to the reports. Last time we brought this before council, we had a very set list. This is actually a larger list, which we can then work through. So, we don't anticipate that every single reserve on this list would be going into our heritage, but it at least gives our officers the ability to be able to negotiate.
All right, thank you. So, having made the reports, does anyone have a promotion?
Question, never mind. Question is, if we enter the heritage agreement with the state government, is there likely to be any obligation that this, in the agreement that the council must, for argument's sake, eradicate all weeds, so we, in effect, manage it better? I've only had a look at a couple of these on the average and our management of them, but that's okay. No, no one did very basic. So the question is, will the state government or could the state government put in the agreement for conditions on the council to manage these facilities better?
Well, I think these agreements are full of conditions, but I'm not sure who puts them. So, Mr. Jansen.
Yeah, through you, Your Worship. No, not specifically. The only one that would not count is that if it was declared weeds on there, we would be obliged to remove the clear weeds. But besides that, no, we manage it how we see fit.
Okay. I'll have a recommendation.
So, you have a printer? Do you want to speak further to the item?
No, I said I probably would like to have a bit more time to go and have a look. I'm familiar with the ones over the north of the council. I'm not familiar with the ones over here, and I just didn't have time because I actually had the weekend off. So I'm not sure what the other. I'm relying on your local knowledge of the ones over here. They, in the report, I'm satisfied that they were further investigation.
All right, thank you. So you move that, Councillor Bryant, you have seconded, or you have a question?
I'll second it. Sorry.
Do you want to speak to the item?
Yeah, if I may briefly, Your Worship. Yeah, thank you both for coming in, and thank you, Ms. Eden, for all the work that you've done on this. I think this is extremely good investment of council time and resources in gaining listing of heritage agreements on these properties, and explain why this system, for people aren't aware of it, has been a system of protecting private land established in 1980 in South Australia by the Liberal government, I believe. And it was extremely far-sighted and novel at the time. It really set the benchmark in Australia. There's 2,500, I think, heritage agreements in South Australia. The current government's committed $6 million towards this scheme, a lot of which is in the form of grants. Having private land listed under a heritage agreement not only provides protection in perpetuity, but more importantly, or perhaps just as importantly, it makes available grant money to manage the land. And in response to Councillor Herman's question, council is obliged to control the declared weeds regardless of the status of the land. That's the law. This doesn't create additional obligations, but it certainly creates additional opportunities. And I understand that staff have attained $32,600 in grants in 2021-22, which is 5 heritage agreement sites. Every site is eligible to get a grant, which is another reason why it would be very good to have a grants officer, because that would magnify the investment we put into such a person and obtain grants for multiple heritage agreements, because we've already got quite a lot. I think our team manages for conservation, 292 hectares of 56 parcels. That's a considerable maintenance burden for a fairly small crew. This is one strategy to help council manage them and get some resources off the state government to do it. So I commend this motion to the chamber.
All right, thank you. Councillor Boyd, you were keen to second, but just in time, do you want to speak to the other one? Councillor Martin and Councillor Barker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Look, I support this motion. Councillor Grant has sort of told some of the things I was going to say. It's fine. The things that I did want to comment on was that the lady was as part of the Mallee and Kangaroo Isles biodiversity hotspot, which is one of 15 nationally recognised biodiversity hotspot regions. Our region has been extensively cleared for grazing and dryland agriculture. And that has caused a decline in a number of species, and one of the number one contributors, or the number one contributor, I believe, to loss of endangered species is loss of habitat. And that's why it's important that there we do have patches of native vegetation and waterways in our council with high biodiversity value that we look at preserving. And of course, they also, the native vegetation itself has its own inherent value. One of the points I did find quite interesting, and I noticed it was in the original motion as well, is that we explicitly said that we're not changing existing dog access, and that was actually one of the comments that was made by when I posted something about this on social media. So that I'm glad that that's in there, so we can still walk our dogs in the area and things like that, as long as the dogs are not going to be damaging the vegetation. So I'm happy about that. So looking in the margin.
All right, thank you, Councillor Parkin.
Yeah, I actually just want to thank Councillor Grant for his excellent seconding it and all of that information and knowing that. It was terrific, thank you very much. And also just in response to what Councillor Herman said, there are a number of these on this end of the council district I am really familiar with, and I'm delighted that they are going to be covered by this agreement that Halliday was here, for example, and that beautiful patch of land on the corner of Heathfield and on the roads. So this is a fantastic initiative. I'd like to commend everyone on council to work hard to make this happen, and I commend the motion. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. I've now had 4 speakers all in favour of the motion. Is there anyone want to speak against the motion?
Another question.
Yeah, indeed.
Very good. Good, Mayor.
The dog access one, I guess, has some questions around key things on the opinion. This is the high potential biodiversity values. The many protected lands under state government control would look at altering dog access and at times some of the recreation activity. And looking at this list, you know, recreation is clearly a key part of it. And it's a lot of these spaces aren't used in that arena. Was there consideration for any of these sites to have dog access addressed to preserve, I guess, from the looking specifically the fauna aspect of the higher biodiversity value?
If you're able to answer, of course, some of a lot of these may also be the dog accesses, the dog on leave, so.
So with the heritage agreement, it doesn't necessarily have to cover the entire parcel that has been put for the heritage agreement. So, for example, with a reserve like Halliday Reserve, you register the GRO plan, which just excises the area of high biodiversity value and means the other areas that it ever was. It's quite graded. Sometimes you do include a buffer zone or not degraded, but like an open grassy area that might have things of about a meter that are not necessarily obvious to someone unless you're the native or ID. So yes, in a lot of these, when we put them up for heritage agreement application, we can register or often do register a GRO plan which excises the areas that have other uses that are, you know, more important or non negligible. For example, we have a heritage agreement over here for transfer station. It's because we know we have southern ground boundaries there, but we only, that heritage agreement is only over the areas of high-value native edge and not the functioning area that we use as a transfer station. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I guess so. It was really the development piece. I'm not familiar with what's each of these sites in terms of development access. Experience in the parks. And some of those implications that dogs can and do have on Otley. The first one's been defined into Mount George, which I think was cancelled originally. It's now moved over to Farmland, Environment and Water, which now has dogs on leave within a certain zone. And then outside of that zone, there's no dogs whatsoever. And I guess when you're understanding any of these particular sites have those considerations where the existing dog access might need to be addressed.
It's generally council-wide that it's dogs on leave on park, and particularly through our reserves, unless it's, say, off-leash area, designated off-leash area, I believe. So that's the standard that's kind of applied across most of our reserves. I mean, yeah.
What dog exclusion then?
No. I think the local Bushland Park is a bit of a different kettle of fish because it's a very old heritage river from the 80s, and I think that's no dog access because of the conditions that were written into that heritage agreement. But the conditions have evolved over time so that you can put whatever conditions you want in agreement with the minister. But local pool's a bit of a special case. We can't take dogs. You can take them into the recreation area, but not the heritage agreement area. Or other reserves, because a lot of them are actually fairly small and they act as a connecting path between two other areas where people want to walk their dogs. So yeah, for the most part it's dogs on a strong path, and where that already exists, we just retain that. And we don't even need to specify that merely in the condition of the heritage agreement, that's more of a council policy.
Right, thank you. So I'm going to go back to the mover, Councillor Sherman. Can you remind us as well?
Yes, thank you for the general support and the proposal. I guess response to your question about use of them, I think point three in the recommendation does that. It gives the flexibility to have a parcel land, say, divided into sections, high biodiversity, not so high diversity. And a couple of those reserves I looked at, I wouldn't think it's just grassland, but there is a vegetation on another section. And I would imagine that the officers would go through and say, that portion is for that use and that portion for nothing. Yeah. So I commend the motion.
All right, thank you. So I'll ask the chairman then, all those who favour of this motion. All right, thank you very much. That's carried unanimously. Thank you very much for both of you. All All right, moving on to item 12.3. So we're going to hand over to Mr. Meredith to explain how we're going to do this process.
Thank you, Worship. Members, you have done the interview voting process in the past. We'll be chairing the meeting for the purpose of considering nominations and having a vote. I have not received any queries in relation to the report, so at this point in time, I'm only aware of two expressions of interest, being Councillor Ross Stock and Ms. Armstrong.
So we do have also one pure conflict of interest, but we can wait for that until we get to point four, so the voting part of it, right? So we're going to be looking to move items 1 to 3, fourth of all. So I've got the slides on move. Thank you, Councillor Spock. Councillor Gill, 1 second. Thank you. Those in favour, please. So I didn't ask if you wanted any debate on this or whatever. Thank you. So that bit's careful, I must say. So I can hand it over now. Can I see you in the CEO?
Yeah, thank you. It's with me now, everyone. We have we're out of council meeting. We're in a information briefing session. We have potential to nominate up to two people. I'll call for self-nominations for those two opportunities. And as we've said before, staff member Ms. Armstrong is one of them. Councillor Osterstock, any other takers? No, that being the case, we've only got two for two positions, so there's no need for an indicative ballot, and I will hand back to the end of the meeting.
All right, thank you. However, at this point, that's what's up for you today.
Yes. I declare it victorious.
Thank you.
First, do I have to declare my general conflict interest again?
I've never really declared. No, you've already declared it.
So I can just say on the night.
I've noted it down here.
Great. Thanks.
All right, so we've got two candidates. Can we put their names in? All right, there we have it. So I'm looking for a mover for this item. I've got Councillor Grant, and over the side, I've got Councillor Hutch, really willing to second. Thank you. Do you want to speak to the item, Councillor Grant?
Oh, thank you, Worship. I think these are both excellent candidates.
All right, thank you, Councillor Hutch. So if you want to add anything. All right, so we'll go take the vote, please. All those in favour? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so that's carried. Thank you. Well, can I count it to unanimous? It's got to count the bottom as well. It's still unanimous?
No one knows.
It's very unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Councillor Osterstock.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
You have been duly endorsed and your name will go forward.
Oh, it's always a bridesmaid, though, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, go off, ladies. Thank you,
Council, moving on to item 12.4, this is our confidential item. To the view, I'll ask Mr. Watson to come to the table and to enlighten us with any further information. Thank you, Mr. Watson.
Thank you, Mayor Wisdom. I did have a couple of queries. One being, could I put more information with this report? Unfortunately, not as it's confidential, most of these reports are difficult to write this report and give you a lot of information. But having said that, if council members need that information, they can find that in their council agendas and minutes folders in the archive and go back and look at the relevant report that applies to the relevant item. I do also need to impress upon council members if there's any discussion you need to consider whether you need to move into confidence for these items as well. And I would also say I am the report author, but not the knowledge specialist for each item. So you need to consider that as well, because the question may need to be directed to the relevant officer. Thank you.
All right, and of course, if you can't find something in the agenda, you can always call
government to direct you towards the item. So, Councillor Marsh, are you going to move the item or are you wanting to have a question?
I have a question that I'm also looking to leave that must have an answer to the question. Well, it's actually an open question. It's in relation to Resolution 172/22 relating to Ashton Landfill. There's a couple of them there on page 165 of the agenda. Would staff consider a confidential update for elected members on the Ashton Landfill issue, particularly for members? So we've just been seeing how that issue is going.
Let's put that to the order.
Thank you, Your Worship. 3 years we've actually got one scheduled for the next month, I think it's Armstrong. So indeed we will update members on that, you know, which is an important issue for us and that's be across where we're at with
that. All right, thank you for that. So that was a big question. You're happy to move?
Yes, I'm happy to move.
Did you want to speak any further to the item?
There's no further instances only.
Thank you. Do you have a second, please? Maybe anyone on the opposite side for a second. Thank you, Councillor Gill. So we have a mover and seconder, please. Any debate? Okay, so let's put it to the vote, please. All those in favour? So that's carried unanimously. Thank you very much. All right, so we're going to move on to item 12.5. Did you get all of that? Did you get the next question?
No, please.
Yeah, so 12.5, this is with regard to the advisory group. And, you know, is there anything you would like to further explain or highlight and explain you?
Thank you, Richard. I did get a couple of queries leading to the meeting, and I believe that there may be potential for an alternate motion to be lodged, but don't have any more information to your worship.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I speculated an additional point, 0.4. I'd like to move items 1, 2, 3 as printed, and 4, which is on the screen, that the CEO conducts a council member workshop and reports back to council by December 2023. Alternatives to advisory groups. Alternatives to advisory groups, which will include those not limited to feasibility of establishing Section 41 committees. I formally moved that way. I thank Mr. Miller for the report. We did have a brief workshop some time ago at Woodside on this issue. The report spells out a proposed way forward, essentially this issue waiting on the outcome of the strategic review, which could take quite a while. I think it's important that, for the sake of transparency, given that we are suspending the advisory groups, which not only made up of the elected members, but community members, that we resolve formally a way forward, taking into consideration the content of the report. My mind is open. I do have a preference in respect of a way forward, but I think that, in fairness, other options need to be looked at, and I'm sure that will be covered if this motion gets up in the proposed workshop. And by 2023, hopefully, we will have some tangible alternative going forward, which will incorporate community members to advise the council in due course, in whether formally or informally, on matters which will flow from the strategic plan, environment, sustainability, things of those nature which are traditionally the cornerstone of Adelaide Hills Council and what we stand for, and given we all reside in one of the best places in the country. So I commend the motion to the Chamber.
All right, thank you. Do you have a second?
Thank you for you, Mayor. Now, when I first came across this, because it's really hard sometimes to find and keep independent members on advisory groups, I wanted to recommend that we actually hang on to our members and just put the advisory groups on the poll.
But after a bit more research, I found out that these independent positions on the advisory groups end in April. So the current term of membership is coming to an end anyhow. So given that, I will support the motion.
All right, thank you. So, Councillor Munford, if you'd like to speak, you can leave it back to
you. Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. Yeah, look, I agree with the motion, and I think Councillor Ossoff for bringing his alteration to the originally recommended motion. He did actually circulate something earlier that which was a lot more prescriptive, and I'm glad that he sort of left it a bit more open, because I think we need to consider all options. One of my frustrations with the advisory groups, as they were previously, is that they were providing advice not to the council, but to the elected body of council, that they were providing advice to staff. And then as such, their agendas were confined to matters which staff decided on, so they didn't really have much independence behind them. In that way, they actually did work okay. I think that was certainly the one that I was involved in. I would like to see committees which I guess have the ability for our elected body to actually refer matters to them to examine, and for them to then come back with recommendations. And they should have certainly some independent expert sort of participation from people who are volunteering their time, but they do have some expertise to contribute, and some of those groups could also be, I guess, a little bit of a standing stakeholder engagement group as well, having representatives from certain organisations, for example, like CFS, for something that covered bushfire. So, look, I'm very happy with the motion as it is at the moment, and I commend it.
Thank you, Councillor Parkin.
Thank you, Councillor Ostadoc, for having made a point to this motion. I'm really happy to support it as well. I think it's really important that we, I do think it's important, obviously, we examine our advisory groups. But what this gives us the opportunity to do is really have a look at what other councils do. Some councils run advisory groups and Section 41 committees in ways that are really productive, really add value to both the elected body and to staff. And I think rather than just sort of going, oh, we're not going to do this anymore, this is really an opportunity to have a look at what best practice actually is and how we can bring that best practice into our own council in a way that works for staff, in a way that works for elected body. It also gives us an opportunity to work out which ones of these groups might be better off as working groups, which ones we can bring together, which ones we should completely get rid of, maybe that we might need some new ones. So I think, you know, a comprehensive review with a view to really going, how can we do this really well? You know, it could be that we end up with one committee, it could be that we end up with three, it could be we end up with nothing. But I think to have a really good comprehensive review of how we can bring best practice into our council, it gives us the opportunity to do this. And as such, I commend the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turnbull.
Yes, Mayor, I have a question for the administration, please. During our workshop in Woodside, we discussed the relationship between the advisory groups and the strategic planning process. And I'm just wondering, given Councillor Ossoff's addition of item number four, how that relates in the timeline of our strategic planning process.
Do you want to comment on that, Mr. Waters?
Sure. Through you, Worship. That was something that some thought was given to this afternoon. And December works reasonably well. It's going to be getting towards the back end or the end, the good end, the finalisation of the new strategic plan. And at that point, we're very confident that if this motion gets up as is proposed, we would be able to, the timing would be good.
Yeah. All right, thank you. Do you want to talk to the items as well? Anybody else wishing to debate the item? It seems to be I'm hearing all lots of things and all over the set. All right, then I'll go back to Councillor Ossoff. All right, so let's just vote, please. All those in favour of this item. All right, thank you, that's Karen. All right. Now, let's move on. We're on item 12.6. This is our status report on the council's obligation state. It is now requested Mr. Watson or Mr. Miller, if you want to pick it up.
Nothing to add.
Oh, I see, but
nothing
to add to this. Thank you,
Councillor
Thurman.
You
wish to do something?
Yes, I know the recommendation, but in doing so, I'd just like to comment on it. If members could look at page 162 of the agenda, in particular 232 of 18 and 11 of 20. And they both, resolution one was over 4 years old. It's the first one, which is the revocation of community land and Bridgewater Retirement Village. If we look at the commentary, it seemed to go all right, and now it seems to be stuck in the Minister's office. Likewise, with the 11 of 20, which is at the bottom of the page, which is the revocation of the Bridgewater Retirement Village family name. They're stuck in the Minister's office. So the question that I've raised with the administration was maybe a letter from either the Mayor to the Minister or from the CEO to the Chief of Staff in the Minister's office. Disappointing out that we have been waiting a long time for the decisions on these. And the Bridgewater Retirement, but it does have a budget implication. So there's money that we expect to get from the proceeds of sale out of that. So the longer it's not processed, you know, we're out of pocket. So I'll just take advice, perhaps from the Mayor or CEO.
So it's not an unreasonable request.
And it doesn't have to be a resolution.
No, it's not an administrative.
I'm not sure who could take very more clout.
Not Tom Coots and Tonus's office, is it?
Not sure Cram Leeds.
Is this something we can do?
Through you, Your Worship. We staff are in regular contact with the staff and ministers.
I'm aware of that.
Councillor Hannon knows. We don't necessarily think that letter will expedite the process, but it can't hurt at the end of the day. You never know. So we will make sure that we don't leave any stone unturned in the rest of the matter, and happy to do that administratively without meeting on the resolution.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor. That. So I've moved the motion.
All right, so we're looking for a second there, Councillor. I'm not you, the building or the
Look, I've got a question in relation to that one, because that also, there is also the issue of the upgrade of Harrowby Park, which is hanging on that as well. I guess my question is that awaiting this resolution as well?
I don't know the answer to that, so.
Through you, which I don't know the exact answer to that. I prefer to get boss to my own stuff, but I'm here unless Mr. Jansen happens to know, or Ms. Westbrook, or Ms. Armstrong happens to know. Previous one, sounds like she does.
Through you, Worship. I suppose through the beds have been set in place, with the sale of the retirement village, they'll see the funding from the sale to be used for the upgrade, so there is that connectivity between the two projects.
All right, thank you. So I'm still looking for a seconder. Thank you, Councillor March. Do you wish to speak the item now?
No.
All right, thank you. Anybody else wanting to say the item? All right, if not, let's go to the vote, please, everyone. All those in favour? All right, thank you. That's carried unanimously. Moving on to item 13, there are no further administration reports, information items. Do you have any questions for
Thank
you, Councillor Ross. Good question.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just following on from our deputy's deputation on his issues with Freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Through you, my understanding is that trees overhanging one's boundary on their property, that they can be cut back to the boundary line. Certainly, my understanding is that's what happens in a domestic environment. My neighbour's tree is overhanging my property boundary. I'm quite within my legal rights to cut it off to the boundary and deposit the material. Not that I do that, Madam Mayor. No, not at all.
It would be, yes, it would be.
So you're asking if that's the same as...
Correct. Yeah. Is that...
talking about ripping up very mature trees. Well, I'll have to come back to Christmas Jansen.
What's...
talking about very mature trees, large limbs, and if you do that, then you start actually, destabilise the tree. So, do you know the answer, though?
Yeah, through you, Your Worship. Yeah, you're quite right. I can, in regards to private residents, more you are, more than welcome to do it. Again, I'm sure you wouldn't do it yourself.
No, I don't. But
in this case, yeah, we do prune the trees for the long life and for the risk management of the tree, not for, we definitely don't prune to boundary.
But what's the legal position?
Councillor Ossoff's asking you.
What's the legal position?
Tell me that they just lock off any branch that's hanging over inside the field of tree.
Yeah, no, my understanding is that you can't.
But why legally can I do that in my own home, yet that can't be done to the council tree that's hanging over his property?
I'd have to check the legality and have you go back to yourself about that.
I think the entire council would be interested in that. Yeah.
All right, what we'll do is we'll keep that as a question on notice to Mr. Jensen.
Thank you.
It's a really interesting question. And I do know that all councils generally do senior prunes of trees. If they're senior trees, they'll say it's years old and we think we can do a senior prune. But I certainly wouldn't imagine that they would want councils to want people dropping large branches off. We would end up with some real serious situations. So we'll let Mr. Jansen come back to us. That would be really good.
Thank you.
For the question. Anybody else got a question without the license?
Another question I've noticed. I was going to ask, in your opening remarks, you said you had a meeting on the 31st of March. Will that be incorporated in the minutes, what you said? Or could it be incorporated in the minutes, please? That's your meeting with the minutes on the
31st.
Thank you. Then I won't ask the question.
Yes. And actually, between you and the gateposts, that was actually why I put it up in that first step. Okay, if not, let's go on to reports. Anybody wanting to report on any particular event or activity that they've mentioned that they want to bring to council's attention? Not what happened in the last 2 weeks. Councillor Parkin.
Yeah, I was invited to attend the opening of the Cherry Bomb Cafe in Ashton, which is on the corner of the Ashton Street there. And I don't know if a number of you remember, we met the proprietor of that in the previous council, Tanya, at one of the Northern Summit events that we had. Anyway, it was a wonderful place. She's renovated it beautifully. It was packed. There was locals filling up the street. You could barely find... I couldn't drive through the centre of Ashton because it was so busy. I don't know that Ashton's been that busy in a long time, but it's a wonderful spot. Congratulations to Tanya for a wonderful opening and a great cafe. And it looks like they have really good breakfasts. So might go on and have some bacon and eggs at the Cherry Bomb Cafe. But it was a wonderful evening. I just thought I would share that. Didn't know if any of you knew that it was open, but so go and check it out.
Yeah, so council actually work quite close to him, but I think it's right on that. And myself personally, I work quite a lot with that, trying to make that happen. And I am so far away, but I understand it's a really good day, and I think the previous mayor was there as well.
Yeah.
Councillor Munch.
Yeah, thank you. Look, one thing I wanted to report on was I stumbled across, it was the Adelaide Hills picnic meet of the Athletics League, and it was essentially was at Milo Oval, and it was actually sponsored by Council, so thank you, Council, for sponsoring it.
Sorry, is this a little athletics one?
No, this was actually a meet of the SA Athletics League, it's called, and they do, I guess you call them handicap races, so if any of you are aware of the store gift or the what's the one they have at Cornell every year,
Bay City.
The Bay, yeah.
Sheffield.
Bay Sheffield, that's it, yeah. So that sort of handicap foot race sort of thing. And that was held on the surface of the Mylor Oval, which is looking fantastic at the moment. So, yeah, thank you for Council for sponsoring it, and I believe it did really well.
All right, thank you. Councillor Selwick, if you want to talk about your going to the International Women's Day breakfast.
Yeah, I attended the International Women's Day breakfast with about 3,000 other people.
It's
not fair. Yeah, but there was a fantastic address by the US Ambassador Caroline Kennedy, and was hosted by International Women, but it was a fantastic event.
I'm deeply sorry because I was overseas, so I've got an invitation for that. So that was glad it was really good there. Councillor Chair.
Yeah, I am Dr. Tim. My first time eligible for a reservation work group meeting, the discussion meeting that was called, and we discussed a couple of things on Councillor Mudge's motion, which was it was a good experience for me to meet first. It got in heavy early, and it's certainly going to challenge me in my way of thinking, but I think I'll be able to prove some contributions to that. I do think it's a fantastic group to be advising on things that come through our chamber to do with reconciliation. And I guess I also want to thank the chamber for the confidence they have to put me in that position. Thank you.
All right, thank you, everybody else. All right, then, anyone on any external organisations? All right, so I'm going to move on 16.3. CEO, your report, please.
Thank you, Worship. I was going to mention a couple of things that have already come up, so I won't repeat those, but I will just because I couldn't quite recall whether you mentioned it 2 weeks ago that you and I, Your Worship, met with Jack Batty, Member for Bragg, newly elected after the last election, when the by-election was held, and Bragg only covers a small part of our area, but an important part of our area, including White Rock Quarry, where that is, Horseman Gully. So we did take the opportunity to express this council's general position, and of course, there's resolution to that end. And we were pleased to know that Jack Batty is right across the detail of that and is heavily engaged in the process himself. Of course, he is an opposition MP, but that can actually help if you're looking to put a bit of pressure on the government. So we hope to get some advocacy support through. So I'm going to change to be aware of that.
So we can answer that as well. We talked about public transport. That's one of his passions is reducing the traffic on Port Rush Road in particular. So that was another thing that we raised as an issue that we have in common. Anything else you wanted to report?
Oh no, sorry,
Worship. Right, thank you. All right, so moving on to item 17, do we have any committee reports? On 17.1, there were no cap minutes available, so we won't do that one until the 28th. Up is the audit committee, but we did have the audit committee's recommendations to council, and so I know both Councillor Howard and Councillor Sable were there. Would you like to move something?
Yes, I'll move recommendations 1, 2, and 3, and just very briefly. Some of the targets have been slowed down a little bit because the administration staff have been heavily involved in the gun elections in November and then subsequent induction and training. In addition to that, the manager of people and culture resigned, and a new appointment CEO is that chief manager. When does that start?
Next week,
yeah. So the new staff member will be coming on there, which will give those impetus. The budgetary management audit and the treasury management audit are commencing this quarter.
All right, thank you. So, would you be happy to second? Thank you. Would you like to speak?
Yes, I would. Thank you. I raised quite a number of concerns in the audit committee meeting about this risk register, given that a number of the risk items were due for review. Over 6 months ago.
And the number of the items are not up to date. I have been in discussions with Mr. Miller about the risk management framework that fits around all of this. And I think, you know, I do feel like council administration are progressing with ways to make sure that that register is up to date and accurate.
All right, thank you. Anybody else wishing to today or contribute to the so I don't think you need a line of comment.
Thank you.
So let's move to the vote. Thank you. All those in favour of this item. All right, thank you. That's carried out today. All right, we have no CEO comments review panel and no boundary change committee meeting, and we have no confidential items. And so our next ordinary meeting will be scheduled for 28th of March here in Stirling. So I'll close this meeting at 7:56. Thank you, everybody.
That's that regard.